Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock. We will get into all things Tennessee Titans with him, so looking forward to that. Got the Rob rant coming up later this hour at 7:45. So, Joe, I want to set the scene for you because it was just about a year ago when Trevor Lawrence agreed to terms on a new five-year, $275 million contract with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And we talked a lot about that deal. And one of the conversations that came out of that deal was from you, basically looking at the AFC South and throwing the question out there, how would we kind of look and stack these AFC South teams based on the future direction of their team and the outlook of where things were going at that time? Now, I mean, think back to, I know it's hard to do, but think back to a year ago, Joe. You had Will Levis entering into year two. There was some excitement about Will Levis potentially being the answer at franchise quarterback. You had in Indianapolis what people hoped would be a healthy Anthony Richardson stepping into year two and maybe leading the Colts to the promised land at that point. Houston, it was just coming off a unbelievable rookie season from C.J. Stroud and that Texans team. And Bobby Slowick was the next hottest thing in coaching and all those things. So think about now, a year later, Joe. You know, Bobby Slowick gets fired in Houston. They have a new offensive coordinator. They basically gutted their entire offensive line and have revamped that. You have Trevor Lawrence, who was hurt for a significant portion of last year, and when he was healthy, did not play overly well. You have Anthony Richardson in a quarterback competition with Daniel Jones heading into his third year in Indianapolis. And Will Levis is still on the Titans roster, but is now out, and they've drafted another quarterback. So, Joe, as we revisit this question a year later, what do you make of the AFC South, the future outlooks for these teams, and how you would kind of stack them as we sit here today on June the 16th?
Yeah, it is amazing to think back. Obviously, very different feeling in Indy for Anthony Richardson. It's like, well, maybe they played him too early, but he's still got all the goods to be great. It's got to be hard for some Titans fans to believe how much excitement there was about Will Levis a year ago, but it was there. It was there. And yeah, look, Stroud, you know, we were wondering, is there going to be a sophomore slump? There was a little bit, you know, but still, I mean, I'm starting with them. Now, the interesting thing about the Texans is they had the star quarterback and the bright future, and then like front office stuff totally screwed it up, and then Deshaun Watson wanted out of there. Like, there's things like that that can always happen to derail something. And, you know, I don't know if there's a true championship contender emerging anytime soon in Houston. The bottom line is C.J. Stroud is easily, to me, the most exciting quarterback and the most sure thing and the most likely to be great for a sustained period of time. And that's what matters. And they also have other things. You know, they got some really good young players on both sides of the ball. I still think their head coach, you know, D'Amico Ryan, I think he's really good. So I think they're an easy number one.
I would agree.
It'd be hard for me to entertain any of the other three at the top spot. For me, I'm going next. I'm going to go to, you know, I think Jacksonville and the Titans both have a case just because Jacksonville has someone who is going to be good at quarterback. And maybe Cam Ward's going to be better. Maybe Cam Ward's going to flame out and be a disastrous pick. That's also possible. I know right now this is not the time of year for anybody to buy that as a possibility, but it is a possibility. Trevor Lawrence is going to be good. He's going to be good to pretty good to good. I don't know that he's going to be much better than that. And it's still the Jags, and their GM is 11 years old, and yeah, and they might be totally screwing up Travis Hunter. So I'm not super excited about them, but I'm going with quarterback. I'm going to go them. Then I'm going to go Titans. only because at least there's hope. Like, maybe Cam Ward does work out. Like, right now, you at least have the possibility that Cam Ward is going to live up to, or again, live 70% of the way up to being the number one overall pick, 65% of the way. You're still, like, that's playoff appearances. That's pretty good. You know, that's Trevor Lawrence territory. And then I have to go Colts last because I just, like Daniel Jones looks like he's going to win this QB job, and you know, kudos to you. Like, where are you going to go from there? Right now, there's just no, there's just no reason. They have some decent players, but like they have to be last. And you know, look, rest in peace, Jim Irsay. We had some fun with Jim Irsay on this show over the years, but the guy is an owner that a lot of those players loved him.
Yep.
And you know, wasn't perfect, but like he did some pretty good things, and now his daughters are splitting the duties, and who the heck knows how that'll go.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about the Colts, the Titans, and the Jags is, like, there are huge question marks with all three of those teams. And for different reasons in most cases. But, I mean, ownership is kind of a common theme in that, right? I mean, now that Jim Irsay has passed away, what is the ownership structure and the decision-making and all that? What's that going to look like in Indianapolis? I don't know. I have no clue how that's going to work. Jacksonville, I mean, we could talk about – you know, Liam Cohen and the Duval stuff and the new general manager and the weird Travis Hunt, like all that's weird. But I still look at Jacksonville and I think to myself, ownership has been their biggest problem. And their ownership has been bad in Jacksonville, and they've made a lot of bad decisions. And that's why the Jacksonville Jaguars, save for a year or two here or there, are usually at the bottom of the league. I mean, that is an ownership thing. And it's hard to escape that conversation with them. I mean, right now, it could change. Right now, the Titans have bad ownership, and we'll see how it goes. But, I mean, she has made some just baffling decisions over the past few years, which have played a part in why the Titans have been where they've been. So, I think Houston unquestionably is number one. I think a lot of that has to do with C.J. Stroud. I'm also with you on Houston that I don't know that I would consider Houston a legitimate championship threat right now in the AFC either, and they have revamped their entire offensive line, and we'll see how that goes this year. I think you could rank the Titans, the Jags, and the Colts almost in any order, 2 through 4. I really think you could. And I think, number one, that speaks to how bad they've been over the past few years and what the outlook kind of looks like for them now. If I had to do it, I would probably go this way. I would go Houston at one. I would probably go Indy at 2, just based on the rest of their roster. And, you know, part of the hope for Indy is, well, maybe they are bad this year with Daniel Jones, and then they draft their next quarterback. I would go Titans 3, Jacksonville 4. But I think 2 through 4, I mean, it's a razor's edge, and you could readjust them any way you wanted to, which shows you why this division is as bad as it's been. And the question that we threw out a few weeks ago is, like, is Houston – actually that good, or are they just the best of what is a bad division?
What do you want, Andy Ben's payroll here? I hope he's listening sends you some appreciation. I hear what you're saying, but I think Indy's clearly 4 just because of the QB. You know, maybe I'm putting too much into QB. And again, like the Titans just have – it's their latest try, right?
I think so you overrate Lawrence a little bit. I don't even know if I would go good with Lawrence. Like, he's been, I would say, average at best would be the way that I would put it.
Yeah, that's true. But, like, at this point, would you take Trevor Lawrence or Daniel Jones?
I mean, I would take Lawrence over Daniel Jones for sure. But, like, I guess my point is they're stuck with Lawrence. And I don't think that Indy is stuck with either Anthony Richardson or Daniel Jones.
That's true. But and definitely you make the good point on ownership. But that's the thing. What the heck? I don't know. I'm seeing stuff like they're all going to be on the sideline listening on the headsets and stuff.
I did see that.
You know, I have no idea what that's going to look like, you know, with their ownership. And you just don't know. I mean, even like in Pittsburgh, you know, that people are like, yeah, this Rooney's not like the previous Rooney. You know, is that true, or is that just like because the cycles of the league are hard to, you know, to totally overcome? I don't know, but I do know that it's possible they could be derailed there. I just, with them right now, when I look at the future, I want something to hold on to.
Yeah.
And yes, you're right. It's not like, yay, get excited about Trevor Lawrence. I guess maybe I'd put the Titans second because of that, you know, because they are locked into that. And again, the Titans, after this year, the Titans may be the clear four in this discussion.
Yeah.
Because Ward's terrible and they fire Callahan and they just start over. By the way, oh, Chad Brinker's still in there. He's somehow, you know, convinced them that he should keep his job. They could look easily fourth, but Ward just is hope. Ward is hope. And so I'm going to, until he proves that he's not a cause for hope, that's what he is.
So how would you rank the AFC South teams and the outlook direction that they're headed right now? 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll continue this discussion coming up next. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 1025-1063, The Game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Body Rock. Plank, lunge, twist, and push your limits with Body Rock's dynamic muscle sculpting Pilates-inspired classes designed to rock your body to the core. Get half off a $50 gift card now at thegamenashville.com/deals to use at any of Body Rock's four Nashville locations while supplies last. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Rowe, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Throwing it out there, as you're looking at the AFC South teams and their future outlook, their direction that they're headed right now, how'd you rank them? I think we've all got Houston at one. I haven't seen one person yet that doesn't have Houston at number one. So if you have somebody other than Houston at one, we'd love to hear from you at 615-737-1025. Adam in Portland on the text line or on the phone line waiting patiently. Let's head there and get his thoughts. Adam, welcome into the program.
Yeah, Houston's number one, dude. But so I would say, like, almost in every scenario, I'm going to put the Titans above the Jaguars until you prove me wrong on that. But the same feeling, and I hate to say it because it rips my heart out, I'm almost always going to put the Colts above the Titans until we, like, are clear favorites over them. So it's probably looking like that, man. Houston, Indy, us, and then the Jags. But I've been listening to you guys this morning. I feel like Cam, it doesn't really matter what he does. Like, I was texting Joe. Like, I feel like Cam has to be spectacular, but even if he does, I don't think he's going to be enough, dude. Like, I just feel like the whole thing's going to come apart. And I worry because we looked at the same thing when Trevor Lawrence was put in that situation with Urban Meyer when he was doing his stuff at his bar or whatever and acting crazy, man. We were like, that's going to, like, permanently damage Trevor Lawrence. And so I worry that Cam going through such a loser season is going to break him, dude. Like, this confidence and swag or whatever that everybody, you know, is talking about from this past week, it's going to be hurt, you know, if he ends up going through a 3-win season and he feels like he can't help him. So I don't know, dude. I'll put us third right now, and I really worry about what it's going to do to Cam.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate the call. Pervin Urban. That was a throwback to the past there.
So, yeah, now I just want to make sure, maybe I heard wrong. Is he suggesting that Urban's groping somehow hurt Trevor Lawrence permanently? I mean, that year was a terrible way to start.
I think it was just the circus around all of it.
Yeah, but that's like that's such, to me, that's total excuse making for Trevor Lawrence, isn't it? I mean, Yes. Look, it was a bad start. He overcame it. He's had Doug Peterson, who has a good track record with quarterbacks. I just think that Trevor Lawrence at this point is just, he just isn't the absolute elite superstar quarterback that everybody thought he was going to be coming out of Clemson. And he has the tools. He had an incredible run at Clemson when they were at the very top of the sport. Like, he was playing on the best teams in college football. It was Bama and Clemson were the best two programs. And he was great, but happens all the time. Guys just aren't as good. I mean, his outcome is still, it's in the, you know, what was the stat? 2080? What was our stat in the Super Bowl era of working out? First round quarterbacks working out. You know, it was,
it's like 25%, and then our definition of working out 25. Was very – it's like it's very loose of working
and
out.
And he would qualify. Yeah. He would qualify. Yeah. So he qualifies, but, like, that's just – I mean, I just think he's just not that great. He's pretty good, you know. He's pretty good. And, again, that pretty good is better than Mariota's pretty good, as we've talked about. But Yes.
Good for
you
him.
Know, I'm actually earlier had a thank you had a hot take on the text line about how it doesn't matter, like unless there's a playoff appearance, Callahan's out because Mularkey won a playoff game and got canned. Callahan is toast. You know, my real quick on that, you know, I think a huge question or a huge part of that is, does Borgonzi have someone? Because remember, John Robinson wanted Mike Vrabel as his coach.
Yeah.
He wanted Mike Vrabel. He thought he had the next star coach. Pretty good, you know, pretty good eye for talent, frankly, on J-Rob's part. But he had someone in mind. So that's why, you know, they just were just ready to move on from Mularkey. And also, like, there's a lot of stuff with Rubisky and the offense, all that stuff, regressing in 17. But does Borgonzi have someone like that, or does he not? Is he one of these Chiefs guys? Is one of those he desperately wants to be a head coach, or not? I think that's a big part of that, you know, outcome.
Also, I would say this, like, the Titans, I don't expect to be very good this year. I don't think that one season of that early in your career, unless there's just some catastrophic injury, which, knocking on wood, hopefully there's not. I don't think that if you've got the goods as a quarterback and you're made of the right stuff, which it looks like Cam Ward is, we'll see, but you're made of the right stuff and you've got that confidence, all that, I don't think one bad season removes that from you, right? Like, I don't think it totally destroys that. Now, if you go season after season and you just have a terrible team around you and you're just losing, 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 does that affect you at some point? Yes, I'm sure it probably does. But, I mean, look, I know Joe Burrow got hurt his first year. But, I mean, go back and watch Joe Burrow and that team during his first year. I mean, it was he was good, and he was running for his life from the moment he walked through the door there. And they were not a very good team his first year. And then ultimately, obviously, he gets hurt. Now, I think, you know, he beat the Titans that year, so. That was an interesting.
Yes, he did.
That was an interesting game when the Titans should not have been beaten by Cincinnati. But you've seen some of these guys, like Josh Allen, early in his career. You've seen some of the elite quarterbacks in the league. They're not all like Mahomes, where they just step in and you're immediately going, you know, 13-4 or whatever it is. There have been some lean seasons, particularly with the higher draft picks who have had some bad teams that they've had to kind of come up with. Now, there's also been the other way, right? Like, everybody thought the Texans were going to be bad, and they weren't. C.J. Stroud immediately took him to the playoffs. Same thing with Jaden Daniels last year. I'm just saying, like, I don't know that I buy that one bad season with the Titans is just going to totally rob Cam Ward of his confidence. And if it does, I don't know that if that happens, you're always made of the right stuff if that's the way it goes down.
Did you say Cam Ward and his confidence?
Yeah.
I don't believe Cam Ward's allowed to have any confidence. Have you heard this take?
I have heard that, yes.
I mean, that's a beauty of a take, which I don't totally understand. But in all seriousness, no, it's a good point, because there's plenty of rookie quarterbacks who show promise and don't win.
Yeah.
And Joe Burrow didn't win. Joe Burrow, you could see it with him. He wasn't insanely good, but you could still see. Like, I did not think after that year that they had made a mistake. Matthew Stafford in Detroit. Again, I don't remember what they won in like 2009, but there's no way they won more than probably 4 or 5 games, I'm guessing. I'll look it up. Everybody, you could see it, though. Like, wow, they actually finally got a quarterback who might be so good that he's going to overcome what this organization is. And, yeah, you can find other examples of that. So, Cam Ward can – he can go 5-12 this year, and we can all still feel like, yep, they got somebody. That's absolutely possible.
Stafford, by the way, started 10 games his rookie year, and they went 2-8 in those 10 games. So, I mean, just goes
straight.
There
you go.
There have been plenty of quarterbacks in the league that have taken their lumps early and then have rebounded. Now, look, I'm also not going to be naive and think that there haven't been cases in league history where the situation that quarterbacks have gone to and just either the absolute terrible roster that's been around them, the decision-making by the organization, you know, some of the clown show situations off the field. Like, there have been situations where, obviously, the environment has probably affected pretty drastically whether or not that quarterback turned out to be good, right? Like, there are probably – I mean, you can go through the history of the NFL and look at quarterbacks that had all the profile, had all the tools, had the confidence you were looking for heading into the NFL, and the situation that they were in was just so bad that it just zapped them. I mean, you can find those guys. So I'm not saying that doesn't happen. I just don't know that I'm worried about that in a one-year setting with Cam Ward.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest ways quarterback get ruined, there's a lot of – yeah, there's plenty of would-be great quarterback careers that go nowhere, and would-be non-quarterback careers, Tom Brady, that end up in, you know, getting this opportunity, and then we get to see what he is, or else no one would have. And again, I just mentioned the Detroit Lions. They got a great history of guys that I wish I could have seen them somewhere else and what they would have become. So, but I think the biggest way quarterbacks get ruined, so to speak, is when they come in and there's no protection and they take so many hits that they start seeing ghosts. I think that's the easiest, the most obvious way a quarterback gets ruined. Obviously, like think of David Carr. Could he have been great if he didn't have to deal with 76 sacks as a rookie? I don't know. Maybe. But it's hard to sit there and look at that and say that didn't affect the rest of his career.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. It looks like a big change is coming in college football, and we'll see if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Some differing opinions on that we'll get into coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We'll have the Rob Rant coming up at 7:45. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans. So looking forward to that. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Joe, some changes look like they're coming in college football as it relates to the transfer portal. Chris Vanini, friend of the show, put this story out over the weekend of obviously the conversation that Kirby Smart had a couple of weeks ago about how the transfer portal and the window and trying to figure out what to do with the portal windows is the most immediate problem that they've got in college football right now. And it looks like there is some momentum to having one transfer portal window. And as Vanini talks about in this piece at The Athletic, Joe, looks like there's a lot of momentum for that window to be held in January. So that would get rid of the spring portal. You would have the single portal window with the hope being at that point that you get it done in January. Coaches know what their roster is going to look like as they head into the spring and then obviously the next season into the fall, and you can kind of go from there. Now, there it's not, you know, totally simple. Obviously, a window in January, Joe, there's still college football playoff going on during that time. You know, you've got a lot of things happening that complicate it at the start of kind of the academic calendar at that part of it. So it's not totally clear that that's the way it's going yet, but it does look like it. I think Vanini even called it, based on some of the feedback that he's gotten, probably 80-20 of the responses in favor of the single portal window in January. So what do you make of that, Joe? What do you make of the single portal window in January? Does that fix some of the transfer portal problems in your mind? And where do you think this all goes from here in the aftermath of, again, the fallout from the House settlement?
Yeah, I think it's very simple. I think the January window is the way to go. You have January 2nd to whatever. And like in the story, you got Ryan Day crying about it, you know, because his team, look, the teams that go deep that are still playing on January 20th or whatever, it's going to be complicated for them. Like, there's a quote from Kirby Smart where people said, I've been told, because he's talking about that too, and how difficult it is when you're in a championship situation to deal with that. And the quote he gave was like, I was been told to not cry about that from the yacht. And that's how I feel. Like, look, it's almost like maybe some measure of like the NFL, if you're the best team, you draft last, you know, like good for you. And so you have to deal with the headache. You have one of the best teams. You're still playing in mid late January. And this is a headache that you have to deal with. I know it's not perfect, but one window absolutely to me has to happen. And the spring window is problematic. And this isn't like player advocates are against this too, you know, but look, I'm totally against restricting earnings for players. They're trying with NIL Go. Plug in your NIL deal. We'll see if it works out. You know, you plug in, oh, yay, approved or denied. It's just so dumb. It's this Deloitte thing is so dumb. I'm 100% against that. Restricting earnings, it's not going to work. You're going to get your pants sued off you. But I am for restricting like the movement in terms of, again, think of it like pro sports. There should be one period of free agency. There should be one period of movement. If you have extenuating circumstances, your coach leaves, then we already have it in place where you're going to get, I think, whatever it is, 5 days or whatever. You have a window then after, if something like that happens. That's how it should be. It used to be players were stuck. Their coach would leave and they couldn't do anything about it, you know? Or if you want to transfer, you have to sit out a year no matter what. So one window of movement, it just makes more sense, especially with the academic calendar. Again, I know some people roll their eyes at the academic calendar. Well, look, most of these people actually are interested in, you know, being in their classes and getting degrees. We always talk about the very tiny fraction of them that are super highly paid and possibly NFL players. Most of them aren't. Most of them are probably pretty happy getting some free college and maybe a little NIL. And it makes sense to have it during the academic window. So I hope that's what happens. I like that it seems from Vanini's story that that's the momentum. And I don't care that a team that's in the playoff has to deal with the headache. That's part of the deal. Then don't be good.
Yeah, I would probably, in a perfect world, rather just see one transfer portal window in February and just have a window in February. But as you brought up, you can't do that with academic calendar. I mean, you're already into the semester at that point. So it's going to be in January. So it's not perfect. It is, I think, the best scenario possible. I don't like the – like I'm with the coaches who say the spring window is not good. And it's not good because you think you've got your roster heading into spring football, and then all of a sudden spring football rolls through and somebody's not happy with the reps they're getting in spring practice and they decide to just bolt and get out of there. And that happens, you know, at different points throughout the country. You know, and then there's obviously the extreme of it with the Nico situation that just happened in Tennessee in the spring windows. I think one period of movement, however they get there, is good in college football. I hear what, you know, Kirby Smart and Ryan Day and those guys are saying. And what's going to be really interesting is like when they're in the middle of their college football playoff run and guys are trying to make the decision as to whether or not they're going to stay. And I think what you'll still see happen is – teams that are in the playoff, we know that they get additional time and they've got an additional window after that. So I think that part of it makes it a little bit easier to absorb if you're one of those teams. But there's too much movement in college football right now. We've talked about this a lot on the show. I don't care about players getting paid. I don't think most college football fans care about players getting paid. Like I think sometimes the media makes that more of a deal than it actually is. Like I think most people are okay with players getting paid. The number one issue they've got to solve is player movement. There's too much of it, and it's very difficult. I don't know if it's affected your product yet, but it will at some point. Like, there's way too much player movement, and that's the number one thing they've got to get figured out.
Yeah, and it's just you will still have these situations, even with the teams being able to do it after their season. You will still have situations where a backup on a team playing for a championship is like, well, if I don't go now during the regular window period, well, then I'm going to lose my spot at Texas Tech.
Correct.
And they want me, and I can start next year for them, and I'm getting money, and so I'm leaving. So that'll happen. These teams that are in the playoffs are going to lose depth at times because they got a player. I mean, I don't think you're going to see like a starter leave. That'd be something else. Yeah, that'd be a new one. Maybe it'll happen at some point. Starting quarterback's like, hey guys, I really want to play for the championship, but like, Texas is offering me $3 million to come next year, so I got to go. I mean, I don't think realistically that's going to happen. We'll see, you will lose players. You will have disruptions. You will lose some depth. Usually, it's just guys that you would have lost anyway, but it's just inconvenient because they have to do their business while you're still playing, but I can live with that. And yeah, I'm with you. Some people disagree with that. They're like, oh, show me the proof. The stadiums are full. The tailgating is as good as ever. Ratings are incredible. Why are you sure it's hurting the product? I would tend to agree with you though. I think that the movement needs to be contained because it, you know, if you have these teams changing so much year to year, I do think that fans latch on to players and like to have some level of continuity. So I don't know that it would destroy it if it would stay like this, because I just think the passion for your alma mater or your team that you grew up with loving is always going to be there, but it's better for the product. And look, yeah, it's better. You're saving, in a lot of cases with movement, you know, some of these guys need to be saved from themselves and saved from their inner circle, who is not looking at the big picture of you're in a good place. You're developing. You like it there. You are, you know, making progress toward a degree. This is a place you can always go back to when you're an adult. It's a huge part of this whole thing is being able to go back to a place and calling it home and having this network of alums. Like Nico, I feel bad for him because Nico was developing and his teammates liked him and all this stuff. And now he's in a worse situation. And sometimes that's why, when you have one window, there's some guys who might have left during the other window and maybe they get talked into, you know what, stick it out, work hard, and get yourself higher on the depth chart because you like it here other than that.
I don't have a way to prove this, but I know for me, the player movement has already really affected how I view and feel about like the recruiting part of it. Like, think about 15 years ago, National Signing Day, and like what a big deal it was, right? Of like, I mean, there were people that just sat around all day and watched National Signing Day. And now, and I can't speak for everybody here, I really couldn't care less. Like, my approach basically at this point with high school recruiting is, you still need a good class, but let me know when they get on the field, right? Like, there's a lot of Tennessee fans really excited about David Sanders, and they're obviously really excited about Faison Brandon coming next year. And my approach is, cool. I mean, let me know when they're playing actual football, because until then, there's a billion different things that can happen where they can leave. So, like, it's not worth a whole lot of energy, in my opinion, getting excited about those guys because of the situation that's currently there until they start playing football.
Yeah, no, I get that for sure. I mean, signing day is definitely because it was actually a great kind of sports thing in the middle, you know, in early February where there was nothing going on anyway. And now it's December, and now it's in the middle of way more stuff going on in December. And like you said, like you could still
it's meaningless
lose some guys. Yeah, I mean, it's not me, but the interesting thing about it is like, and maybe this will change over time, but we still are seeing the strong correlation between the teams playing for championships and their recruiting rankings of their high school recruiting classes, right? Like, that's still like Ohio State, Georgia, you know, like they've been at the top and they're typically have the best teams. So with some exceptions, and again, maybe that'll change. I still think it's really important to have a great class and then know you're going to probably lose more than you would have before. But if you do a good job of retaining the bulk of it and you do a good job of evaluating out of high school, you're still going to be better off long term.
We got the Rob Rant coming up next. Corey Curtis will be with us at 8 o'clock, taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. All that coming up, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Oh, yeah. More polyester pants. Tally-ho! We make fun of gout on this show a lot, but I also feel like our show is a vehicle for gout awareness.
Gout Awareness Day is May 22nd.
Well, every day I look in the mirror, I don't think I'm getting any younger.
Tacos and beer.
Callahan,
you tell me, who is your daddy and what does he do?
And then there was more tacos and beer. Maybe someday you could be like me and get gout.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Rex Road powering through today. Rex Road, let's get an update at 7:48 real quickly for how we're feeling, how we're doing today so far on the program.
Yeah, but I've been, you know, when I'm turned this way, I've been like icing on and off as much as I rate it. Like, it really hurts for anything to touch the gouted foot. So it's just stupid. I was stupid yesterday. Maybe it wouldn't have mattered. You know, maybe today would have been bad, but typically when you get a gout attack, you should like elevate it, ice it, and stay off it. And I went to the movie with my kids, and it was stupid. So, and Herb, thanks for asking.
Well, I'm just we're again, as we said to start the show, very proud of you for how you're fighting through today and showing up to work and just powering through, soldiering on, as they say. We'll take more of your well wishes for Rex Road on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So I took a nice trip to East Tennessee this weekend. Stayed in Gatlinburg. The mountains is very nice. We had a great time out there. But as we're driving up, I noticed a trend and really a correlation with this trend that I think it's worth bringing up here today. So, you know, we're moving along. We're probably somewhere along, you know, right around Cookeville, Crossville, somewhere in that area, approaching the Buc-ee's, which was a wild success with the toddler. Toddler, big fan of Buc-ee's.
Nice.
So there's this car in the left lane that is just, I mean, I think I counted at one time because I was just curious for how many cars were passing. I think seven consecutive cars passed this car in the left lane from the right side without the person moving, doing anything whatsoever. So I finally get up next to this person and I look over and they're just singing along in the car and they've got the AirPods in the ear. AirPods driving down the road in the ear. And so I thought, I don't know how they do that. There's no way I could drive with headphones in and have any sort of focus whatsoever. But I didn't think much of it. I just keep going. We get a few more miles down the road, and it's a different car that almost runs into the people in front of us switching lanes where they're basically right next to each other and just weren't paying attention, and it was almost a bad wreck. Thankfully, nothing happened, and everybody was okay. But then I get up next to this person, and I look over. And they've got AirPods in. They've got headphones in. Just driving down the road, listening to headphones.
Both ears?
Both ears. And I'm like, so is this a thing now? People just drive with headphones in all over the place? Number one, I was like, is this legal? Like, can you do this? So, Joey, I looked it up. Apparently, it is illegal to wear headphones while driving in 35 states. Tennessee doesn't look like they're one of them, so I guess it's legal to do in the state of Tennessee. I was really unaware that people do this. I have no idea how you would, like, focus with headphones in. Maybe some people can do it. I know that I couldn't do it, so I've never even thought to have that as an option. I get to dinner one night in East Tennessee this week, and there's multiple teenagers sitting at the table with headphones in, listening to music rather than, like, you know, conversing with their family. Headphones becoming a huge problem in the United States of America, and we can do the general conversation at another time. I would urge people, take the headphones out when you're driving the car, because based on what I saw this weekend, there seemed to be a pretty stark correlation between people driving with headphones in and then almost killing everybody around them.
Yeah, that's not okay in a car. What you're talking about, that's weird to me. In a car, I don't get that at all. I would be so uncomfortable, and you know, especially if you have the noise canceling,
yeah,
headphones. You know, like it's like you're detached from the environment. That's, you know, you have to have obviously very, very alert for what you're talking about with dinner and stuff. Yeah. I mean, that's unfortunately. So I have a kid, my oldest, who just has this thing where he, and again, he's off in college, so we don't see him too often anymore, but he'll just walk around with one in.
Yeah. I've seen that too.
He's just like, and he's just like, so he's like talking or whatever, but then it's like, wait, why do you have an AirPod in, like one? And I guess it's like, you know, if something happens on his phone or whatever, like he hears the thing or, you know, he can get in there and quickly be like, okay, and he can hear it. But it's like, to me, it's like, to me, it's like one or the other.
That would drive me nuts.
And also like, yeah, I me too. But yeah, the whole like, just AirPods in while you're supposed to be at a dinner with people. Oh man. I mean, the whole, all of it, it's phone, AirPods, just being totally distracted. It's a problem, man. But the driving part of it, that's crazy to me.
Multiple people. I saw multiple people driving with AirPods in.
I could see the driving with the one AirPod in, so you can do like a hands-free call.
I could see that.
You know, if you go one and, you know, you get a phone call, you want to go hands-free, I'm cool with that, with the one. And I walk around the house, one had AirPod in. When I'm listening to the radio, you know, streaming our show on the app or whatever's on, Jared in the afternoon, I'll go back and listen to our stuff, or even if I have the game on my phone,
yeah,
finals or something tonight, you know, don't want to take up the TV, but I'll have it on the phone and I'll just have the phone on and, you know, maybe not watching, but I'll have the headphone in so I can hear what's going on.
I mean, I just think
that makes sense.
Like driving, I clearly the first person that was in the left lane the whole time, like they were totally unaware that there was what just this doing. Convoy of people behind them passing. I mean, they were just, I guess they had their music turned up loud in their headphones. They were just having the time of their life. It's like, but like you probably should be able to at least like, you know, hear what's going on around you in case that there's, you know,
well, it's the emergency an ambulance vehicle, or something behind you. Yeah, like, you got to be able to move out of the way
you
now.
You should probably have the ability to be aware of what's going on out there. I mean, that would be why, first off, like I just couldn't do it. I don't know if I could drive in a car with headphones. You know, I listen to, you know, the radio, the car speaker, and you can turn it down at any point and it's not in your ear, all those things. But I just, apparently it's a thing now. Like I saw it all over the place with people driving with headphones in this weekend. I guess I've never noticed it before.
Yeah, that should be, there's something for state lawmakers to address, I would say for sure. It's dangerous. You got to be able to, it's, you know, the ambulance, it probably cuts through noise canceling, but even, you know, some of the other more subtle noises that you could have, that could be, you know, something that you need to pay attention to when you're on the road.
Yeah, what if you what if your car's breaking down? Like you probably need to be able to hear where the sound is coming from. It's like, what's going on? Oh wait, I came to a complete stop.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean that's very dangerous. That's a good point by Ian on. I actually, that's not a bad idea because when I do that, sometimes I'll like have a game, but like whatever, people are watching something different, and I usually just go without sound. But the one ear, like get sort of listening, but then still able to hear with your other. That's actually I might try that. I guess I was making fun of my son, but the thing is, not like he was streaming something. You know? He was just like having it in just to be
just in case. You never know.
I found that kind of weird, but yeah. We need to come up with a, you know, just like we need to come up with, you mentioned earlier, Aaron, we need to come up with golf course cheating etiquette. Maybe we need to come up with an AirPod etiquette, you know, schedule for people.
Maybe so. Might be something we got to work out on this program. I would just encourage people. Hey, just, if you're going to do this, I mean, at the moment, it appears to be legal in the state of Tennessee. If you're an offender of this, just make sure you keep an eye out for what's going on around you. And if you look back and you're in the left lane, and there's 75 cars behind you, the problem is probably you. Just keep that in mind as you're driving down the road. Let's welcome Bicycle Boy into the program on our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Bicycle Boy, good morning.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Just really quickly, I will drive with the left earbud in when my wife and I are on long trips. The reason I do that is because she has no interest in listening to sports talk. So I keep the left one in. I can listen to 102.5, and I keep the right one open so I can listen to her complaining about my driving.
Nice. That's very good. That's very good. Thanks for the call, Bicycle Boy. I mean, I guess, Joe, like, I guess the one ear, there's probably not a huge issue with it because at least you can have the other ear to hear what's going on around you. It's the both ear that – but I mean, the first person pretty clearly was having a concert with the headphones in, and it was like, hey, look behind you at some point. There's an entire mile of people behind you waiting on you to stop going 55 miles an hour in the 70-mile-an-hour lane.
Yeah, that's not good. Okay, I'm warming up to the one ear, though. I'm warming up to the one ear a little bit here.
One ear is acceptable is what we've determined here on the program. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.